It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Malachi, starting with the first chapter, Malachi chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with the sixth verse. So Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us by phone, it would be 217-847-2717. If you would like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Or parkviewbible@gmail.com would be our email address. And then also parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com is also another email address you can sure use. And please check out our website. Again, that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And you'll find our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, and many studies on the site there that I hope will help you to come to know the Lord Jesus and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Once again, to read the God's precious word, Malachi chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 6. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire of mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But curse be the deceiver who hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after finishing the first chapter there in reading. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together today, this opportunity to be able to study your precious word. I just ask that you will show us your way and will each and every day, that you'll guide and lead us, Father. Give us your strength and give us your wisdom. The study here is a wonderful study. And Father, it is so true today. It just seems that we could take this right out of the newspaper today for the condition and the weariness that people have for attending church and coming and praising, Father, your name, and giving you thanks and bringing their sacrifices, their offerings to you. Different than at this time, it was an animal sacrifice. It was material things. And now it's our time, it is our monies that we would come and bring to support the work of the church. Father, please, that you just touch every heart that's listening today and guide and lead us through this study. Bring those that are lost that do not know you as their Lord and Savior to salvation. And, Father, those that are saved, please, that you would bring those as well to a understanding of service and a time of praising and honoring you and do it with joy. So please, just guide and lead us, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, before the birth and the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God did not go into the believer. The power of the Spirit of God would be upon believers, but not to indwell them as it does today. And that took place there at Pentecost after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And then it was 10 days after that that the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit descended upon all those that believed, and we have enjoyed that ever since. Every time a believer, anyone that comes by faith to the Lord Jesus and calls upon Him to save him from his sin and set him free, possesses now the Holy Spirit in his heart. And so, what a joy that is! And that joy then begins at our surrendering to begin to produce fruit, and that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. What a wonderful part of a person's life to possess those things, to produce those things, and other people see it, other people are affected by it, other people, we pray, will come by faith to the Lord Jesus because of the joy that we hold and that we have. And so we find here that these folks have long since lost that joy. And as we begin now back with the sixth verse, and it's kind of a sad state of affairs that the nation of Israel is in. As we have said, they have been back from captivity approximately 100 years. They came back and they rebuilt the walls and rebuilt the temple and began to bring their sacrifices and offerings, praising the Lord for Him delivering them out of captivity and bringing them back home again. There is kind of a mixture here. They are those that returned, and we have those that did not return. And it's believed that this message found its way to both of those parties. That way they, all of Israel, heard these words, all 12 tribes, and they are all, of course, those that stayed back in Babylon and didn't return. They are not offering a sacrifice at all. But over that period of time, we find that now Israel has begun to produce bringing offerings and sacrifices that are not pleasing unto the Lord, and they have lost their first love, would be a statement that would be true of these folks. And so we begin, as God says in the first 5 verses, that I love you, Israel. And the problem is that the priests, the leadership, is accepting, and the people have followed suit of giving their seconds, their thirds, their fourths, just given kind of whatever's left. That's kind of what they do. And look at verse 6 here. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You see that the priests of the day, God appointed the priests to do the work around the tabernacle, and so you, as we would call them a lay person, I would come and bring my offering unto the priest, and they would accept that offering if it was proper, and then they would present it unto the Lord on my behalf. Well, the problem was that the offering that the people were bringing and the offering that the priests were accepting was a far cry from what the Lord expects of us. And we find the same today. we just give our leftovers. We just give what's, you know, if there is any leftover, and that is of our time, of our talents, of our monies, everything we do, we tend to leave the Lord out. He's the last. Well, God is a jealous God, and He has went to the cross of Calvary, and He has saved us, and He expects us to serve Him and to walk with Him. He does not expect, and this is what's happened in so many churches today, or they call themselves churches, and that is you are there to be entertained. And if you come and be entertained and your ears get tickled and you feel good, well, then that's great. And so then you come back the next week and the next week because you've been entertained. Well, we are to come and to learn the Word of God and to worship our God, to worship Him, not to be entertained. And I'm afraid today that the instruments and the things that are on the platforms of our churches today, and the speaking and the movie screens now that have taken over the viewing of the pulpit, we've got to have all those things to make a church service. And all it is bringing all that into the world, bringing the church into the world, or the world into the church would maybe be a better statement. And so they don't understand. What do you mean? What do you mean? What is it that we don't honor you? What do you mean that we despise your name? Lord, we don't do that. Well, they most certainly did by their actions. Maybe not by their words, but by their actions. And it's the same thing today. The words that you hear out of many pulpits seem to be pretty good. But it's the actions, it's the result, and it's not bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ truthfully and in reality, and it's not bringing folks closer to the Lord Jesus as well. It's bringing and taking them more and more into the world. Verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, where have we polluted thee? Now, if you'll go back and you'll find Scripture that as they would bring a meat offering, it would be and be fine flour mingled with oil, and it would be the best. But instead of that, they brought what they called polluted bread, and that polluted bread was a coarse bread, and it was a bread that was given to your slaves and to the servants. It was very dry. Even at times, it would be moldy. That's what they were bringing. When he says a polluted bread, it stands for a lot of things, and we get into much of the lame and the sick and everything else in verse 8 and on down. But we're finding here that even the polluted bread, even what they were bringing, was a coarse bread, a bread that was for slaves. We are to bring unto the Lord our finest, our best. And these priests were accepting this, in that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now we look at that word contemptible. It means to disdain, to despise. And so once again, verse 7, ye offer polluted bread unto mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, disdain, to despise. And if ye offer the blind, here in verse 8, for sacrifice, is it not evil? And that word evil means bad, it means hurt, it means harm, it means sorrow. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? What a wonderful question. What a tremendous question. This governor would be a great leader, could be a captain. The word deputy even came in when you look up the word governor. And so it would be a person of great authority. And if you would bring to them this gift, this offering, would they accept it? And the answer without question is no. They would be so angry. They would be, you should be so ashamed to present this level of gift, this lame, this blind, this sick, that you would bring that and give that to a leader, a person that is a great leader, and you would give that to them. You wouldn't do that. You would be ashamed to do that. And that leader, he would be appalled that you would think so little of him that you would do such a thing. Why would you do such a thing? And the Lord's question is, you know that the governor, the captain, would not accept that gift and probably throw you in prison because of that, because you have given something that is so sick and lame and blind. Why would you give something that is so evil unto the governor when you're trying to show your support to him, show your favor towards him, show your love towards him? You wouldn't do that, and yet you give it to me. And our Lord and Savior, he deserves much more than any earthly man, no matter what his title may or may not be, receive. Deserves our greatest, our first. And he's telling these priests, I guarantee you, you wouldn't give this to the captain because I don't know what he'd do to you. He would treat you in such a manner. So you need to understand what you're doing to me. Let's go down through here. Back to verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread into mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thee as a person, saith the Lord of hosts? And God knew the answer. This is words that the Lord put into Malachi's mouth to speak. Would he be pleased? Now I beseech thee, and now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Thus hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire for mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. These offerings that have been presented, it is so sad, the thought that was given, the time that was given, as you will find as we look through the scripture, the condition of the nation of Israel has deteriorated so much. They have forgotten their first love. They have walked away from their God. Let me read once again, as we've read before, Leviticus 22, verses 20 through 23. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be accepted for you. And whosoever offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow or freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. And there shall be no blemish therein, blind or broken or maimed or having a wean or a, a scurzy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them unto the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous and lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. As we look at the scripture, as we see this time together, we find, and I apologize for some of the words, English was not my best subject, but we get the meaning. The blind, the broken, the maimed, he does not accept. Any blemish, he does not accept. Now, let's come and find what these people were offering. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil or wrong? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, and yet the people were offering, were bringing these, and then the priests were offering them. So Malachi, the Lord speaking through him, was holding the priests responsible because they were the ones that were actually accepting this. There was a note that I had read, and we can make connections with this today. Here comes a very wealthy man, very rich farmer, and he has some of the finest, if not the finest, cattle in the country. Everybody admires him, very rich, very wealthy. He has prize bull. That prize bull worth thousands of dollars. But that prize bull has become sick. Prize bull's getting a little age. And so he comes and he thinks about it, and he thought, you know, before this bull dies, I'm going to take it to the priest and let him offer it up as a sacrifice. Because, I mean, look at the value of this animal. Disregarding the fact that he's sick and old, that farmer, that rich rancher, brings that bull to the priest, to the temple, to the priest. And that priest accepts that offering. Many times because of the position that this rich man holds in the community, he dare not deny this offering, even though it is against what we've just read back in Leviticus. So he comes and he presents this, and he shows this to the priest, and the priest very graciously accepts this wonderful gift. And he brings it and he offers it up on the altar, as he should, if it had been a perfect sacrifice. And so then here comes the rich man. And he's all puffed up because the people begin to say, you know, he has offered his prize bull, that bull that's worth thousands of dollars. He has given that. What a willing and wonderful man that this man is. What a godly man this man is. And yet he was not godly in any way, shape, or form. He accepted honor that was not his. The priests accepted a gift from him that they should never have offered because it was not of the requirements that God has set forth. The man was not willing to give of his finest. He gave what he was. He just wanted to do it before the bull died. Now, I'm going to ask, how are we doing when it comes to the time of prayer and the time of study? when it comes to the time of service at the church, service in the community in God's name, when it comes to bringing your tithe unto the Lord, do you look in your pocket and you says, well, there's not that much left this week. You know, I maybe shouldn't have went to that ball game, and maybe I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have bought this. But, you know, God doesn't care. God has, you know, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, as the scripture says. So, you know, he doesn't care. It's the thought that counts. So I'm going to put in my 2 cents here and call it good. God is not pleased with that. God is not pleased with that at all. Number one, you need to turn to him and be born again. You need to be saved. And then you need to look and you need to give him first. Now, we're not under the law, but the tithe is 10%. That's what a tithe is. And I believe that God expects 10% plus for us to give unto the Lord. 10% plus, tithes and offerings, the scripture calls it. Now, you say, well, I just can't make it on what I'm doing. Well, that's probably because you're not tithing what the Lord is giving you. It's all his. He's just asking for a small portion back that we can take it, pay for the radio time, pay for all the expenses of the church to take care of everything that's needed. He wants us to give of our tithes and offerings. Now, this man with his prize bull was a fake and a phony. And many of us do the same. We maybe would come and well, I will give if I can have my name on the plaque. I've been pastor of this church for many, many years. One of the first things that was taken care of when I accepted the call is the Lord had called me here, and that was to remove a plaque on the wall in the church that had the names of the people that had given to purchase the carpet, the pews, the different things of the church. I removed that plaque because that plaque has no place in the church proper at all. It doesn't exist anymore. And the reason that it doesn't exist is because if you are to give, you are not to give that others see or know what you give. I have no idea what the people here of the church that I pastor, what they give, and I have no right to, and I don't want to know, because that's between them and the Lord. But I pray that they will prayerfully come and prayerfully give of what the Lord, how the Lord has blessed them, and give unto the work. And the tithe, contrary to many, the tithe belongs to the local church, not to some group you support, not to some missionary. That's your offering. The tithe belongs to the local church. And that tithe should come first. These priests and these people had been so far away from the Lord that they have lost their, down here in the 13th verse, it says, behold, what a weariness it is. Is that the way that you, well, I'll come to church if I feel like it. You treat your job, you respect your boss more than you respect the Lord God that saved your soul. The Creator, the Lord Jesus, that created this whole world and has given it to us to take care of and to live off of and to enjoy. Where's our joy? Where's our excitement in serving and giving? We're so tied up in the church today, with the things of the with the world today, that the church today is going by the wayside. Don't let that happen. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?